waving the flag of freedom for people, not corporations. Rick Smith.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, ricksmithshow.com. Some funny stuff going on out in Oklahoma. Look, the teachers, they're good on them. Standing strong, standing together, demanding better pay, better equipment, better materials for classrooms, just better funding for education. And it's about time. One of the worst paid teachers in the country. Education funding been gutted the last 10 years. It's about time. But I do find it very interesting where the state legislature thinks that they've decided they're going to go get the money. And not surprising, they're going to get it from, well, wind energy. Because, hey, we're going to owe those wind people money. It's just, well, rob Peter to pay Paul. But we're not going to take it from the rich people. She's going to go get those poor working class folks. Anyway, here to share some of her thoughts on what's going on in her home state of Oklahoma and elsewhere, I got Sarah Burris, a reporter over at Raw Story. Sarah, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So am I surprised? Should I be surprised that the Republicans in your home state of Oklahoma have said, you know what? We're just going to gut that wind energy program. We don't need that renewable stuff. We got drill, baby, drill.
It's so crazy. It's like they have no idea where funds like this come from. Like, they don't know how they got into this mess to begin with. And I mean, I want to say it was maybe a year or two ago, they tried to cut their tax credits, tax incentives that are given to wind energy companies, because Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plain, it's a great industry for the state of Oklahoma. And so they wanted to slash it because, you know, Republicans don't like green energy and they prefer oil and gas. So already, you know, people have had to fight to keep that industry going. So now they just want to cut the taxes out entirely and somehow use that for education, which, I mean, it's still not going to get us there. It's just a complete cluster.
I mean, but again, you know, it's exactly what you would expect from Republicans, not just in Oklahoma, but here in Pennsylvania and across the country, because education's easy. It's easy to go and cut that stuff because guess what? Those kids don't vote yet. We don't care about them.
It's crazy. And what's surprising to me is what just happened about an hour ago. So the Republican-led legislature had passed a bill that wasn't going to fully fund schools, but at the very least would give a $6,000 pay raise to teachers. And what happened about an hour ago is, so initially Mary Fallon had signed the law, and then the Republicans immediately started repealing the law, and they passed a repeal of the law, and an hour ago she signed it. So they just repealed the $6,000 pay raise that they were giving teachers to begin with. So now we're back to square one.
So whoa. So they passed it and started to fix the problem, and then they repealed it and created the exact same problem. So we're right back to square one.
Yeah, exactly. I don't understand, what were they thinking? Like, the thing that they were going to try and do, it was a hotel motel tax. They were issuing a small tax on basically what would amount to as a tourism fee, and it would have at least funded partially the demands that the teachers were having. Like, ideally they would like to be a little bit higher than the lower 10 states in the country whenever it comes to pay, but at the very least it was $6,000. They weren't going to fully fund education, but at least it was $6,000. And then the second that the strike started, they just completely blew it off. I mean, the legislature was like, nah, we're good, we're done. And they repealed it.
Wow.
And now Fallon has signed it.
I'm literally dumbfounded. I mean, is this like a punishment thing? You didn't do what we said, so now we're taking your candy away? I mean, I'm confused.
I don't know. I'm wondering if that's what it was. One of the things that she said, this has kind of come to a game of chicken at this point. Whenever she announced that she was signing it, she said that she encouraged lawmakers to move on, basically. You know, that she's basically told the Republicans that you need to start looking at other problems that are facing the state, and we're done with education. This is the final bill that I'm going to sign for education for the year. So what are we going to do?
Wow.
Like, are teachers going to keep striking for the rest of the year? You know, clearly they're not going to fund education, and they've got an election in November. So if they're not going to fund education, is this going to continue to be a topic of conversation throughout the summer and into when classes start again in August? Are we going to return to this in August?
But ultimately, isn't that what it comes down to, Sarah? I mean, I've been saying that for years here in Pennsylvania, and I argued that in 2010 when our governor, Tom Corbett, decided that he wanted to cut 55% of the higher ed budget. And I forget what it was like $1.5 billion from K through 12 education. It was a bunch of money. And I said, ultimately, this is what the voters voted for. And ultimately, it's going to be the voters who are going to have to vote these people out. Now, obviously, Tom Corbett was one term Tom because of the education issue. So here the voters in Pennsylvania went to the polls and said, no, we value public education. We value our kids getting a shot. I got to think in Oklahoma, this has got to be, you know, because if you want people to come to your state, you got to have an educated workforce. If parents want their kids to grow up and have opportunity, they got to get a good education. This seems like an absolute positive no-brainer, but it's turned into, you know, this ideological insanity.
It shouldn't be. You're right. It should be. It's a complete no-brainer. This should be something that unites everybody. And yet this is somehow something that people have decided is a polarized issue. All of a sudden, having good schools or adequate textbooks or copy paper or crayons or pencils or whatever the teachers need.
Have you seen the pictures that the teachers were putting out a couple of days ago of the supplies and the textbooks that are tattered and torn? And you know, don't even, I think the one history teacher said 9/11 isn't even in the textbook. That's how old the textbooks are.
Not even that. One of the parents took a photo of a textbook that Blake Shelton had used when he was in school in Tulsa when he was a kid.
Like, yeah, that's, if I knew who he was, I'm sure that would be that'd be funny.
He's a country singer, and
that's
he's
why
on
I
The
don't
Voice.
Know who he is. Got it. So, but it would be funny if, like, you know, the kid brought the whole book home, and mom goes, "I had that book."
Right? I could actually see that happening. I mean, I went to the same high school as my mom did, so that could totally have happened.
Wow. So it's going to be interesting to see where this plays out because, you know, in talking with some of the people that I've met in Oklahoma and you know, through doing this, you know, they're in it for the long haul. They you know, they're dug in. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. Let's move along. Today, the big news, obviously, the raid or the breaking in. If you have a warrant, is that breaking in?
I don't think it is. I mean, it's classified as a no-knock warrant.
Yeah, I mean, I understand. You know, breaking in is kind of like, you know, just walking into a room full of underage teenage, you know, beauty queens trying to get dressed without knocking or giving any warning. To me, that's kind of breaking in.
Yeah, definitely. And I think too, anybody who, you know, just like the Watergate burglars, that was a break-in.
Duct tape foiled the whole thing.
Exactly. You know what's really funny though is, so he went on this crazy tirade and talked about him breaking in, and then he woke up this morning and immediately started tweeting about the witch hunt. What's hilarious is Michael Cohen actually said to I don't know if he tweeted it or how he replied to it, but he said something about how they didn't actually break in, that they were really respectful and very nice to him. And so it's like one of those things where you're like, dude, when your lawyer is refuting what you're saying, you're losing.
And when your lawyer is going, uh-oh, I better be nice to these people, because look, right now you don't want to be ticking off the feds if you're Michael Cohen, because you know the proctology exam, it's coming, and it's coming in a big way.
They've been through your file cabinets.
They're going to be through a lot more than your filing cabinets.
They know where the bodies are buried now.
And that's the thing. I mean, now we hear names that, you know, we've heard in the past, but could be front and center. This Karen McDougal, this could be a whole nother scandal that, you know, as I said this morning, you know, when I saw Trump's reaction, he's irate, he's upset, he's angry. Of course he's upset, irate, and he's angry. He got caught. He's a guy who got caught cheating on his wife.
He not only got caught cheating on his wife, he got caught cheating and then trying to hide it. And it's like what everybody always says, right? It's not the crime, it's the cover-up.
Yep.
That's exactly what has happened here. If you look at the charges that are Washington Post said was on the warrant, it's stuff like campaign finance violations. It's wire fraud because he created a totally different dummy checking account to do the wire transfer. And the way that it was done was some kind of shady thing with a weird name and all this other crap. And I mean, geez, dude, like, yep. It's really the cover up.
No, and one of the other things I asked, like, first thing is, did his wife know? I mean, do they jointly own their house? And did she have to, was she in on it? And two, did he get to write it off on his taxes?
Right? He should be able to write it off on his taxes.
I mean, it's a home equity loan. I would write it off. So, I mean, we're using that for illegal purposes for campaign finance to pay off hush money to a porn star. I mean, how if he's not in divorce court yet, I mean, this is a good start, I think.
Well, here's what's interesting. Whenever they did the warrant and the search, I noticed in the coverage that it talked about how they did a search on his home and the hotel where he was staying.
Right.
And so immediately I was like, why is he in a hotel room? Like, why is he staying in a hotel? Maybe this is why. Maybe he got kicked out and this is where he's staying now.
Yeah. What I had seen is they said what his excuse was is that they're remodeling. And I'm going, sure.
Wasn't that what Paul Manafort was saying too?
Yes. Look, you know, they've got a lot of money, a lot of disposable income, always fixing the drapes, always, you know, new wallpaper, always.
With those like $1 million rugs and all that fancy stuff.
And, you know, the only thing I can say is I am looking forward to the day they perp walk him right into jail.
Oh my God.
Because it couldn't happen to a better person, in my view. He has been a bully. He's been someone who has harassed and intimidated. It would be poetic justice. Just kind of throwing that out there.
No, I'm with you.
And speaking of poetic justice, a guy with a girl's name, Jamie Allman. I don't know if he's Allman or not, but still Jamie's a girl's name. Evidently out of a job, huh? The red hot poker ended up going towards him.
Oh, thank goodness. I mean, that talk about karma, right? Like, of all the things out there that he has said, he's disparaged Michael Brown and his family. He's said all sorts of crazy racist stuff about Ferguson, Missouri. And finally, you know, somebody went to war against him and they won.
So the question is, you know, as you've pointed out, because he has been one of those people who, you know, they've gotten away with just saying some of the most vile, heinous stuff you can imagine. Why is this different?
Honestly, I think a large part of it is that Michael Brown died. He couldn't defend himself. He wasn't on TV talking about all of these issues. His family have been fighting a legal battle. His family have been dealing with the heartbreak of losing somebody. David Hogg's still alive. No. He's still around.
Yeah, or could it be the other side of it? You know, because look, I know some people are saying the race issue doesn't really matter. I got to look at this and go, I don't know. This is a white kid from the upper middle class suburb. You know, this is the kind of reaction that happens. Your poor black kid getting shot. Nobody seems to care.
You know, it may be. It honestly might be. And I think that there are probably a lot of people who, a lot of African Americans who were really pissed off at this guy, but they weren't listening to his show to begin with.
No.
These are white suburban people who probably were listening to his show and were like, dude, you crossed a line there. Yeah. And when you start questioning somebody's viewership or in this case, you know, listeners, then, you know, maybe that's the end.
Or it could have been that, you know, he actually wrote it down. My grandfather always said that you never write anything down. Never. You never write anything down. You never leave anything on voicemail. You're going to say something you don't want repeated. You say it. You don't write it down. It could be that this guy decided he was going to tweet out that he was going to ram a red hot poker up this kid's backside. And that got, you know, Sinclair a bunch of unwanted PR.
Yeah, particularly at a time that they're dealing with a lot of bad PR to begin with.
Yep.
So,
interesting story I saw that you had it put out earlier today about this Russian journalist or Russian-born reporter who had done an interview that I found an interesting point of view. She said, I guess that Trump has really no chance against Putin, and that the fear is that, you know, when we grew up or when I grew up during the Cold War, you know, there were always checks and balances. There was protocol. There was the bat phone. There were a whole bunch of insulating things that, you know, nothing could almost happen immediately. What this person's saying is, you know, with all of that stuff broken down and this kind of mano a mano kind of tough man, strong image thing going on between Trump and Putin, that, you know, this could be real trouble.
It could. And honestly, these are two different styles of government. We've got a democracy or a constitutional republic with a congressional branch that is the major power. They're the ones that get to declare war. They're the ones who get to control the budget. Putin controls his entire country. He controls everybody in it, every member of his cabinet, everybody in the government. So when it comes to the two of them together, Putin is going to go up against Trump and be able to have the entire force and support of his country and all of the leaders behind him. We're going to get bogged down with, you know, Congress and people saying, you know, we're not going to war with Russia. We're not reinstating the Cold War. You need to check your ego at the door and start doing the people's business.
Yeah, I mean, I look at this and, you know, the fear is that, you know, this woman's right, that they've both painted themselves into weird corners. And I, again, you know, I look at this investigation, this Mueller investigation, and, you know, how much of what's coming out, you know, how much of the collusion that a lot of people suspect was there is actually there. How deep are these ties? And, you know, there's just so much to this.
Yeah, it's a lot. And I think we're probably just beginning to see some of it. I think there's probably 60-70% that we don't know. And I think that's all coming out. I mean, I think it's slowly coming out, but I think ultimately Mueller is going to disclose everything that he found. There's going to be a big report and everybody's going to be shocked as hell for a good couple of months afterwards.
Well, I've written and I've said this before. This era in American history is going to be debated and torn apart and conspiracy theoried out the wazoo on a level we haven't seen since JFK. I just think that there's so much conspiracy and so much stuff and so much actual stuff here that it's mind blowing.
What's crazy is he has so many supporters that he is trained to believe everything that he says, to think that the second that he calls something fake news, they believe it. And yep. So there will be a huge subset of the public who believes that this never happened, that these that this scandal never really existed, and that you know, this was all a witch hunt.
I would argue they're all those people are the Rush Limbaugh listeners. All of those people are the ditto heads. They've been trained for years to be ditto heads. Mega dittos! Whatever you say, Donald, we're with you, buddy. We're behind you 100% because we don't want to think.
And it's a very small subset of the population. One of the things that I always tell progressives is we really are in the majority. The vast majority of the country cares about issues like, you know, education, for example. They care about, you know, a strong federal government.
Healthcare.
That can fight back against, you know, foes. They care about healthcare. They care about all of these things. We are in the majority. The people who are supporting Donald Trump, no matter what, they are such a small, minute part of the population. They're just so loud. And so this silent majority needs to speak up and need to start declaring justice.
Find your voice in November. That's what I say. Last question I've got for you. Are you expecting a firing by the end of the week? Does someone get fired? Does Mueller go? Rosenstein? Jeffy, any predictions?
Honestly, whenever we heard about the Cohen stuff, the first thing I thought is that this is going to be, you know, another Saturday Night Massacre. And I mean, I know the reports that we keep hearing are that Republicans are terrified that he's going to do that.
Yeah.
And yeah. I don't know. I mean, part of me kind of thinks this could be interesting if he did it. And you kind of just want to be like, dude, just burn it. See what happens.
So you're pro firing. You want to see it.
Well, I mean, I would hope that if he was going to do it, he would do it a little bit closer to November. But, you know, if you're going to do it.
Pull the trigger.
Just do it.
There you go. Going to steal Nike's slogan. There you go. Just do it, Donnie.
And then we can shove him in prison, finally.
All right. There we go. If he does fire him, do we get to see what Mueller has so far? Does all that shut down and go away?
I don't think it goes away. I don't think it could go away. I think that's when people take to the streets, which is so important. I think people are primed and ready to go. If this happens, there's going to be an uprising. And I think that's important. I think the country needs it. I think people need to make sure that we're still taking to the streets, whether it's for gun control or women's rights or whatever we're fighting for. We need to fight for our democracy.
There you go. Good stuff, Sarah. Always great to talk with you. Always great to see the purple lights.
Thank you.
Good stuff. Our good friend Sarah Burris, reporter over at Raw Story. Highly suggest check out her writings. Good stuff. Let's take a quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
The first ones to die. The first ones in line for that pie in the sky. And we're always last when the crowd.